Tenney County Regional Sewer District for wastewater. The 25-foot wide ingress egress easement for the property was recorded, book 2018, page 17, 576. And I have included staff recommendations. This is our nightly rental special use, five-page. I think you guys have seen it before. This one specifically differs in that it would sleep no more than 18 persons, being an eight-bedroom, which would require the 9 parking spaces. And the rest of it's your standard. If anybody has any questions, if not, I'll move forward, because I think I've read this to you a few times in the past. And I was going to let the applicant just come forward and present his reasonings. And
good evening.
Good evening. And there was one.
Only one holding me from the door here. So just want to hit a couple of points. We submitted quite a bit of material in relation to the appeal packet, and so I won't go up through all of that. What I did was I jotted down some notes at the very beginning of this evening's meeting. Kind of describe the governance process of the board, and so I want to make sure that procedurally we're in the right place here. So Scott mentioned at the beginning that the board's governed by the provisions of Missouri statutes, the Taney County Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustments bylaws. He also mentioned that the board is duty-bound to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged that there is an error of law in a decision made by an administrative official in the enforcement of county zoning regulations. And I've emphasized administrative official because, as is set forth in our appeal, unelected appointees on a planning commission are not, under Missouri law, which again governs this evening's meeting, the equivalent of elected officials. And as is set out more fully in our appeal, if you'll look through our appeal packet, there are legal issues that pertain to those distinctions. Those are legal terms, and they have merit under the Missouri statutes, specifically Chapter 64. So it's important that we understand which body has permission through the law to approve or deny certain requests. So the other thing I thought that I would bring up is at least one of the points in the appeal, which is the most, frankly, the easiest to understand. It doesn't go through a lot of legal jargon and legalese, and that is the point that we've made in point 3, section C of our appeal. And that's kind of a description of the scoring process for each project that goes before the Planning Commission. So for background, and this is more for the public than it is the board, I know that you guys understand this, but for each permit application that's taken up, the planning department staff goes out and inspects the property, and as part of that, they give the property a compliance and compatibility score. At the beginning of that next subsequent public meeting and final vote, the planning director typically reads that score into the Planning Commission record for the Planning Commission's consideration, so that there's some dialogue around the basis of how the property scores from a compliance and compatibility score perspective under the code. So the Planning Department staff followed each and every step in the process on this particular permit application, with the exception of the final step, and that is to communicate the score to the Planning Commission. We see this as a critical omission, and it seemed, frankly, suspicious to the applicant, because we've been through a number of these and we've heard that the score read out time and time again. So at the conclusion of the meeting, we conducted an open records request through the county for each and every permit application that was approved and the corresponding score with each of those. What we found was interesting. So what we first found, and I'll go through a few of these, the project here scored a positive 9, and pluses are actually pretty difficult to obtain if you've been through the process. We also learned that the plus 9 score is higher than every single other special use land permit application ever approved by the Planning Commission. We also learned that 52 permits approved between the inception of the process, October of 2012, and May of this year, a 6-year-long window, 45 of those, just short of 90% of them, had negative scores, negative compatibility, negative compliance scores. And many of the other scores that on projects that were approved were tremendously lower than the applicant score. Some exhibits, some that I've pulled from Exhibit I, just to give you an idea, is, and these are in chronological order, application 1408 received a score of negative 28. Again, ours was plus 9, and that was approved. 1410 was negative 24. Status was approved. 1411, 1511, 1514 were all scored negative 23, and those were all approved. 1601, negative 16, approved. 1703, negative 7, approved. Just last week at the Planning Commission hearing, 1835, 1836, and 1837, all of which received scores quite a bit lower than the one on the application in front of you, all passed. So whether it was by intent or just by simple negligence that the applicant's positive 9 score wasn't read into the public record in accordance with the Planning Commission's standard operating procedures, we really can't fathom how, if it had been read into the record, the County Planning Commission could have come to another conclusion. But since it wasn't read, really there's no other explanation for how the commission arrived at its outcome other than to say that it was arbitrary and capricious. If there's no way of judging the value of a permit application against another one under a compatibility and compliance perspective, then it can't really be explained. So for that reason and the many others that we've set forth, the others are mostly statutory reasons. Again, we would request that the Board of Adjustment reverse the decision of the Planning Commission, and I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you.
Do we have anybody in favor of the application that signed up to speak? Opposed? Okay, well, we'll start in the back of the room. You want to come up and...
My name is Tim Davis, but I think I'm on the sheet.
You are.
My name is Tim Davis. I'm an attorney here in Branson, and my pitch to the Board of Zoning Adjustment is that the underlying Planning and Zoning Commission really did make the right decision. It was the right call under the circumstances. And I'm going to bring to the Board's attention some things that were not raised by the applicant. One is that they're using this building as a 7-bedroom nightly rental. You can look it up on VRBO. I'll hand this to the board here in a moment if you'd like. And it says that it's a 7-bedroom nightly rental that sleeps 20, and it rents for $594 a night, which is significant in a number of respects. One, it means that the applicant totally disregarded the county's own regulations when the county denied their request to be approved as nightly rental. They said, well, we're going to go ahead and do it anyway, which shows a certain disregard of our local ordinances. But even if that wasn't the case, under Chapter 315 of the Missouri Revised Statutes, which is the statutes that govern the Department of Health and Senior Services, a lodging establishment is anything that has rents with 5 or more bedrooms. So if you have a cabin that has 4 bedrooms in it, then you're largely exempt from the state's oversight. That kind of makes sense because the state doesn't want to mess with small cabins. But if you have 5 bedrooms or more, then it triggers Chapter 315. And the State Department of Health and Senior Services acquires jurisdiction that happens to be compatible with the county's jurisdiction. So suppose you had a 10-bedroom, or in this case a 7-bedroom, Scott and his office will have jurisdiction to enforce the local codes, and the Department of Health and Senior Services also will have jurisdiction to enforce state statutes, and presumably Scott, through his office, could also bring an action to enforce the state statutes, because the state will often defer to what the local authorities would like to do. Here's why having 7 bedrooms is important. It becomes then a lodging establishment for purposes of Chapter 315, and it triggers an obligation to comply with certain building codes, such as the fire code, such as installing a sprinkler system, such as certain sanitation that must be met, such as installing ramps, staircases, handrails, and so on. Basically, it has to be treated like a regular hotel and comply with the same sort of building fire codes that a regular hotel would have to comply with. The lodging establishment must also pay for and obtain a permit from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. So far as I'm aware, the applicant has not done any of those things, which means that each one of those separate violations, not paying for and obtaining a permit from the Department of Health and Senior Services, not complying with the fire codes, not complying with the other applicant codes, application codes, each one of those is a separate Class B misdemeanor. And so the legal basis for denying the permit was what they're asking to do actually in itself constitutes a criminal offense. And I think whatever the score is, that fact alone is sufficient basis for denying their request. I would also, well, those are my comments. And if you would like to look at their VRBO application.
Scott, do we need to enter this?
Yeah, it'd be Exhibit E.
Okay.
Could I address the board on some of his comments? I've talked with two health and senior services personnel about this exact deal. They've indicated that each room would have to be rented to an individual, different person. Each individual contract, if it gets more than the four, kicks it into lodging. If there's one contract for that many people, no. I can't get them to even look at it.
So if it were a family that were renting all of the rooms under one folio ticket,
correct,
then it falls in one thing. If it were seven different...
Like a bed and breakfast where they'd rent
right,
to David, the families, next room to Howard. Yes. That's when that lodging law, two separate persons from the seniors, health and senior services have told me that. So that's all that I had to go by is but what they told me. We've actually sent applicants to them early on, Bob had, that tried to get their permit, and they said, no, we can't do it. So.
Something else I'd like to point out, the applicants don't actually own the house. Empire District Electric is required under its FERC license to own and control all the waterfront up to a certain elevation because they flood it. The applicants actually have rented everything below. You can see a property line kind of curving, bisecting the whole picture there. That's Empire's property line. And the applicants have rented everything on the water side of that property line from Empire under a one-year lease. And Empire actually cannot enter more than 1 year lease at a time because the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission won't let them. If Empire wants to lease for more than a year at a time, it almost takes an act of Congress. They actually have to have the FERC board in Washington, D.C. meet and approve that particular lease, which is nearly impossible to have happen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Hirschenreiter, and I was here earlier this summer. And, you know, the house is a lovely home. Our issue as neighbors is we've not been able to get down across the property to our boat dock now for over a year. And I'm concerned about that. And I'm concerned about people that I don't know being on the dock. And I had opportunity to be on the lake recently and floated by with friends and took pictures of their sign that they've placed on the dock as though they're running a business there already. And I have those pictures here, if I could present them.
Okay. Are these for us to keep, to put into record?
Mm-hmm.
So this would be Exhibit F?
F, correct.
So this is the name on here. I had to blow it up. It's over-pixelated, but it's Lake Shore Hideout is the name. And so there's a closer photo of that drilled through the dock that I own with the Alkires. And again, we've been blocked from having access to get down there for over a year. There's issues that are pending in the courts right now. And I think having an advertisement on our dock for a business which is already being rented out
And there are guest comments, having had stayed there through the summer, with up to 20 guests.